To most Americans, the fiduciary rule on financial planning might not mean a whole lot. But for financial planners, stockbrokers, and investment advisors, it's a really big deal. It raises the standard for those people to serve their clients from giving advice that is suitable for their clients to giving advice that is in the client's best interest. In practice, this might greatly increase the level of work for financial advisors in getting to know their clients. Ed Jurtzen is an ISU alum and past president and chairperson of the National Board of Directors of the Financial Planning Association. He spoke at ISU last week and says the financial planning industry is in flux.
The challenging part about the fiduciary rule, it's hard to argue that you shouldn't have the best interest of your client at heart. And so there are some in the industry that'll say, well, we already have a relatively high standard, which for people who are on a commission is the suitability standard. And so there are those in the profession that think it should be a higher standard being fiduciary. And so in our leadership, my leadership role with the Financial Planning Association, we thought that the fiduciary standard is the higher standard. So if you're going to be taking someone's full net worth and give them advice, why wouldn't you have the client's best interest at heart?
Are there unintended consequences to this rule, which many firms are implementing in spite of the slowdown that the administration has put on it?
Yeah, when the Department of Labor came out with a rule, we sent them a 39-page comment letter that said, this is great, but.
And only so, 39.
Only 39. I think we had one of the less lengthy rebuttals. But within that letter was some of the things that we saw, which were some of the unanticipated consequences of the original rule from that standpoint. One of the biggest things that get people nervous is the potential for litigation. It allows for class action lawsuits where a lot of the industry, the financial services industry, is protected by arbitration. So that gets some folks nervous that anyone can sue potentially, according to folks, for certain things, which talking to a lot of the individuals that are in the know when it comes to legal, the class action status is a pretty hard level to attain. But still, it's the litigation risk that firms are looking at.
So that may be a spin-off consequence down the road once there's some experience with how it works in the marketplace. Are there consequences to the kinds of investors that management firms will be seeking out?
So if I look at where some of the firms have been talking about, there's a balance between the rhetoric of what's going to happen with the implementation of the rule and reality. In reality, would the conflict of interest rule change business practices as they are today? And the answer is yes, but in different ways for different groups. And so if I look at the average individual investor, what kind of advice, what kind of services are they getting now under a suitability standard? Are they getting full financial planning? Are they getting full advice? Or are they getting someone they can call into who are just managing their investments? And I think a lot of what we see is firms saying, you know what, a lot of these smaller investors are going to be put to the wayside because the suitability standard works now, but if we go to the fiduciary standard, it will cost us too much in terms of having that small revenue for the individual client.
And small revenue for the management firm, too. If they're not high net worth, are they going to be worth the labor that it takes to really do full due diligence and to give them the best possible advice?
That's the conundrum. So what kind of advice are they getting now in a suitability standard? So if the individuals are getting lower advice, is that bad advice or is that the best advice? So for instance, if someone is coming to me and they're like, well, should I pay off my credit card debt or should I invest? Well, if I only get paid by commission, right, I might not have that best interest in terms of paying off that credit card debt. So that is at the core of the challenge is what advice are they getting now? So if an individual is paying a small amount of revenue, right, on a commission side, which is suitability, can the firm rearrange that, get the same amount of revenue, and then also meet the needs of that individual client?
A somewhat higher level question, though, is it worth doing a full workup on somebody? Their goals, their needs, the level of risk that they wish to accept, their financial plans, the diversity of their existing investments, and whether that meets all of those goals, if they're only worth a couple $100,000. That's a lot of work for a management firm to go through for somebody who may not be saving at a high rate or may not be investing at a high rate.
If you look at where the people who are most vulnerable, it's that person who has $100,000 or $200,000 who, if given bad advice, may take them decades to be able to recoup from that bad advice. And when we talk about the financial services profession, it gets a very bad rap. I mean, there's a lot of very good people out there doing very, very good work. It's that group that's out there that is just selling products that may not be in the best interest, which, again, with somebody with a lower net worth, it would take them a lot of years to recover, where if you've got somebody who's got a large account and large assets, you know, one small bad miss, that's just kind of a blip on their balance sheet, where, again, looking at that individual, that's where the most care should be needed, even though, again, potentially from a revenue standpoint, it might be a little bit more challenging.
So what's going to happen to those people who the big firms don't want to serve?
If you look at the trend when the fiduciary rule was first implemented, so what happened? A lot of firms automatically lowered their fees in regards to the advisory accounts. Different firms were already, this has already been in process for quite some time, even before the Department of Labor came about this rule. You've got major firms who are already telling their advisors, you know what, if this person doesn't have this amount of minimum, they're going to go over to this area, which already had a lower standard of care in regards to in lower one-on-one service. So this isn't anything new that the profession has been working on, because the cost of human interaction is very high and firms want to make sure that they're maximizing that revenue. But again, if we're looking at individual investor, those are the folks that really need the most amount of care and due diligence.
What will happen to them? Are they going to be shuffled off to 800 numbers? And if so, how will they get that care?
Excellent point. And again, that's already been happening. If I look at what's going on in the financial services profession, you look at some of these large advisory firms, the custodians that have been out there, the vanguards of the world, they're already having 1-800 call centers with certified financial planners to meet the needs of individuals. So that is the where the crux of the matter is what kind of advice can these individuals be given in a cost-effective way? There are a lot of folks out there, certified financial planners like myself, whose book of business is varied, where we're meeting the needs of people who have relatively small means and also meeting the needs of higher-end individuals.
Is there a yen legislatively or among professional associations to say there ought to be a place for these folks to get the kind of service that they're not getting, though?
Well, one of the things I look at is, for instance, when TurboTax came out, right? You've got something out there that didn't eviscerate the accounting industry. It helped people get a need or meet their needs from a very, you know, simple, straightforward level at a very cost-effective rate. I'm pretty confident, I believe in the capitalistic system, that if a lot of firms are, let's say, casting off these individuals, somebody is going to create a business model that's going to meet the needs of those individuals.
What might that look like?
So if I talk to several of the individuals in our profession, those involved in the Financial Planning Association, they do very well in what I'll call middle market clients who have $50,000 to $100,000, and they do full comprehensive financial planning. They've made the model work. So what that may mean is not a lot of overhead. You don't have fancy addresses on streets, but you're in the towns where these folks can come and meet and also serve them in a fiduciary capacity. So again, as a believer in capitalism, somebody's going to find a business model that's going to be able to meet the needs of those individuals where they need to meet them, and not necessarily an 800 call-in number.
How does the time-intensive part of fiduciary responsibility affect the likelihood that someone is going a planner is going to rely on algorithm-based investment advice rather than individual?
So you have to remember that the Department of Labor rule is only concentrated on the retirement side of things. So if you happen to be rolling over a 401k plan into an IRA, you should know what value add that you're going to be able to bring to the table for that. It's not an extensive beyond what people are already doing, because the regulators on the commission side, which is FINRA, have already had this extensive knowledge of know your client. So by going over the divide and saying, well, you should know what the fees are for that 401k before rolling it over to you, isn't this a great expansive divide in terms of having to know your client more? That's normal in the system right now in regards to knowing your client. By expanding that knowledge a little bit more, if all you want to do is sales and sell a product, don't wrap that up in being a financial planner or calling yourself a financial advisor. Relish in the fact that you are a stockbroker, that you are selling product and that's all you're doing. So that is sort of the divide. If you want to do that, you can still do that. But on the flip side, if you're going to be doing comprehensive financial planning and getting to know your client, it should be done in a fiduciary capacity.
Edward Jurtzen is an ISU alum and past president and chair of the National Board of Directors of the Financial Planning Association. He spoke last week at ISU.